Good morning. It's so good to see you all here. My name is Tim Park. I serve as our lead pastor. If this is your first time here at our church, we're so glad you're here, and we trust that you will experience the warmth of Jesus here in this place during your visit. Last week, we shared the exciting family news that next Sunday, our son Andrew will be introduced at his new church, and he'll be taking on a new role as pastor of student ministries at his new church at First Baptist Church of Watsonville. Joanne and I could not be more thankful for this new chapter in our son's life. And so next Sunday, we've been invited by Andrew's new senior pastor to be there during the service when Andrew is introduced and to also participate in the service. And so we'll be picking up our daughter Amanda up in Cal Poly San Luis Obispo and driving up there next weekend. So we won't be here next Sunday. We'll miss you, but just know that we'll be somewhere between Monterey and Santa Cruz. That's where the city of Watsonville is. And so we'll be there next Sunday for our son Andrew's first day at his new church. Well, if you would bow with me, I'd like to go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we have the awesome privilege of gathering each Sunday to come here into this place and to open up the everlasting word. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Jesus, thank you for accomplishing that salvation on the cross and making it possible for us to share an eternal relationship with you. And Holy Spirit, thank you for applying that new life to our daily lives. And Holy Spirit, right now we invite you to open our hearts, to illuminate the scriptures, so that we would be transformed in the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. This morning, we're continuing our series called The Spirit at Work. And I've titled this morning's message, Keeping in Step with the Spirit. Keeping in Step with the Spirit. Back in week one of our series, we introduced three foundational truths about the Holy Spirit. And I want to review those for you this morning. In week one, we said that the Holy Spirit is eternally one with the Father and Son. We also said that he possesses his own mind, his own emotions, and his own will. And we also said that the Holy Spirit enables us to experience Jesus in our lives. We know this much. God is one God who exists in three distinct persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and co-equal with the Son. At the same time, he has his own mind, his own emotions, his own will. You know, the concept of the Trinity, at times, it can feel a bit overwhelming, deep, complex. But I want us to gain a fresh understanding and perspective of this beautiful relationship within the Holy Trinity. And in particular, when it comes to our salvation, each in the Trinity plays a distinct role. The Father arranges salvation, the Son accomplishes it, and the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives. The Father arranges it. He arranges salvation. The Son accomplishes it. He accomplished it on the cross. And the Holy Spirit, the moment we give our lives to Jesus, he applies that new life into our daily lives. You know, for Jesus, obedience to his Father's will was central to his mission on earth. Every single thing that Jesus did while on earth was for the purpose of fulfilling the Father's will. And it's a beautiful relationship. Now, what parent wouldn't want obedient children? But in this case, the Son beautifully, willingly obeyed his Father. That was his desire, to obey his Father. And so everything that Jesus did on earth was for the purpose of obeying his Father. It's a beautiful relationship. And just as beautiful is the Holy Spirit's relationship to Jesus. We said earlier in our series that the overarching role of the Spirit in our lives is to bring glory to Jesus. That's something that we don't often think about. The Holy Spirit's overarching role is to bring glory to Jesus. So, everything that you and I experience in our lives about Jesus is made possible by the Holy Spirit, and only by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. He focuses our attention on Jesus. And last week we looked at how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the world, and then also in the lives of those who have put their faith in Jesus. And we said this last time. The Holy Spirit, He convicts. He convicts. In other words, the Holy Spirit makes known the sin of the world. Second, He comes in, or He indwells believers. And then thirdly, He conducts. The Holy Spirit leads and guides believers. You see, part of the Spirit's role in the world is to convict the world of sin. And it's not just any sin, it's a very specific sin. The Holy Spirit's role is to convict the world of the sin of unbelief. There's no way that a person can move from the point of unbelief to belief without the Spirit's prompting. Please understand, for those who have come to faith and put your faith in Jesus, there's absolutely no way that you did that on your own. You didn't wake up one day and say, this Christianity thing, it sounds reasonable. So I'm going to go ahead and step out in faith. It was not of our prompting, not of our doing. You see, because dead people cannot come to life on their own. And that's what we were. We were spiritually dead in our sins. And so it's the Holy Spirit who moves us from death to life. He convicts us of the sin of unbelief. And then at that point, the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in. He indwells us. And what happens is He takes up permanent residence in our lives. You know, at that moment when the Holy Spirit comes in, He's moved us from death to life. You know what that is? It's called an aha moment. Are you familiar with an aha moment? Right? We hear about an aha moment in every part of life, right? In the business world, in the health and wellness industry, in every walk of life, something happens to change the trajectory of a person's entire life. It's that aha moment. Well, there's no greater aha moment than moving from death to life. And that's what happened when the Spirit brought us to life spiritually and came in and He took permanent residence in us. And since He took permanent residence in us, He dwells in us, and guess what? He's ready to work. So the Holy Spirit didn't come in and take residence, and He doesn't want to just lounge around on the sofa of our heart. He's ready to work. He's eager to work. He wants to fill us, lead us, guide us. Now, we said last week that in order for the Spirit to lead us and guide us, we have to allow Him to do so. Because the Spirit will not force us to live a certain way. We must allow Him to fill us. He's ready to work. You see, while every believer is indwelt with the Spirit, not every believer is living a Spirit-filled life. And that's very different. To be indwelt with the Spirit is different than being filled with the Spirit. Indwelling happens once at the moment of salvation. Filling is what Paul tells us, as we learned last week. Must happen constantly, over and over, daily. And we must allow the Spirit to fill us. And to live a Spirit-filled life is to keep in step with the Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about today. keeping in step with the Spirit. In the weeks to come, we're going to talk so much more about the Holy Spirit. We have the rest of this month, actually today, and then we have all of February to talk much more about the Holy Spirit. Next week, our new community life pastor, Daniel Teeter, he's going to continue our series, and he's going to share his first message with his new church family. Yes. So please come. I invite you to be here next Sunday. Today, we're going to talk about what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. And I'd like to take a moment to actually explain our sermon title, Keeping in Step with the Spirit. In a few minutes, I'm going to read to you a verse in Galatians 5. So I invite you can start making your way to Galatians 5, but I'm not going to read that verse for a few minutes. So just start making your way to Galatians 5. But I want to set up the context for you. The book of Galatians is a letter. It's a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to various churches in a region called Galatia. Galatia is modern-day Turkey. And Paul wrote this letter because word had gotten back to him that there was some bad teaching going on in the churches that made up Galatia. There's some bad theology. What was happening was this. New believers who had put their faith in Jesus, they had found a freedom in Christ, a new freedom. But then there were some who were pressuring these new Christians to revert back to a life of legalism. And they had broken free from that life. The book of Galatians is all about the gospel of grace. And the gospel of grace has a power to save anyone. If you're here at the invitation of somebody, I'm thankful that you're here. And I want you to know this, that those who are here who have put their faith in Jesus is because God is a gracious God, and by God's grace, they share a relationship with Jesus. If you don't have that, you can have that. The Holy Spirit wants to move in your life to bring you to that relationship. Galatians is all about the gospel of grace. It has the power to save anybody. And this was no more evident than in the life of the one who wrote this letter to the Galatian churches, Paul. Did you know that Paul, before he came to faith in Christ, Paul was the chief enemy of the church. In fact, I'll go as far as to say Paul hated the church. So Paul was not just simply indifferent about the gospel. He hated the gospel. He was the chief persecutor of the church. And yet, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and only through the power of the Holy Spirit, God saved Paul. God literally knocked Paul off his horse and saved him. And if God can save someone like Paul, who witnessed the execution of Christians, who even orchestrated the persecution of Christians, if God can save Paul, surely he can save anybody. And that is why it's no mistake that when you read all of Paul's letters in the New Testament, he talks so much about the Spirit. Because it was a Spirit who came into his life and took control of his life. And that's the backdrop to the verse that I'm about to read. Galatians 5, verse 25 is a very simple verse. Galatians 5, in verse 25, Paul says this. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. In our modern culture, the phrase keeping in step, it has a couple different meanings. For one, keeping in step means moving at the same pace as someone or something. And we read about this in the business world, in the economic world. Keeping in step. It's moving at the same pace with someone or something. But there's another definition, and that is being in agreement with someone or something. So when you are keeping in step with someone, you are agreeing with that person. For the follower of Jesus Christ, it's both. We keep in step because we move with the Spirit and we agree with the Spirit. By the way, I found this in my life to be true. And I trust it's the same in your life. When we move at the pace of the Holy Spirit, and when we agree with the Holy Spirit, life is so much better. Life is so much better when we move at His pace and when we agree with Him. That doesn't mean that life is much easier. There's a difference. Because there are some hard things that the Spirit will call us to do. But life is better when we move at His pace, when we agree with Him. And so this morning, I want to share with you three things that happen when we keep in step with the Spirit. Three things. Number one, we'll receive support. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is our advocate. When we keep in step with Him, we'll receive support. Because the Holy Spirit is our advocate. I love that word, advocate. It's a very descriptive word. Helper. Supporter. Comforter. Have you ever called customer service and then you were put on hold for several minutes? We all have. Have you ever called customer service and then you were put on hold for several minutes and then you get disconnected? Oh. That is bad. Then you call back again. And then you're 25th in line. The Holy Spirit will never make us wait. He's always there. He's always there. You will not have 20 callers ahead of you. He is our spiritual 911, 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And you know, that's comforting. And here's why. Because the reality is this. Sometimes people won't be there for us. And it's not because they are uncaring. It's impossible for the people in our lives to be there for us all the time. It's unrealistic. And maybe that might bring some of you freedom, because maybe you're feeling guilty that I always have to be there for that person. No one has the capacity or the time or the energy to be there for someone all the time. The Holy Spirit, that's His job. And so, when you're lying in bed at 3 a.m. and you're feeling despair, loneliness, the Holy Spirit is there. And when you don't want to wake up your spouse, when you have no one next to you, the Holy Spirit is there. When we're experiencing a crisis in our life, maybe a physical crisis, a health crisis, a financial crisis, a family conflict, doesn't it seem like that struggle becomes the center of the universe? Right? It's all consuming. It's natural. If you're facing a certain crisis, a hardship in your life, the entire universe revolves around that situation. And that's only natural. And no matter how much people want to be there for us, they just cannot. And it's not fair to ask them to. And so the people around us, as hard as this might be to hear, the people around us will let us down due to no fault of their own. It's just, if we have unrealistic expectations, people will fall short of those expectations. And that is why when Jesus was comforting his disciples before he was about to go to the Father, he said this to them. In John 14, in verses 16 and 17, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Because even then, in that moment, Jesus knew, yes, disciples, you have one another. You can encourage one another, and that's great. But the reality is they were going to let each other down. The people in our lives, by nature, will fall short of our expectations. And that's because oftentimes our expectations are unreal. You see, it's the Holy Spirit's role and his job to be our greatest comforter, our greatest advocate. Because he is always there and he will never let us down. Especially in the darkest moments of our lives. You know, I believe that many people in hospital beds, they're open to receiving prayer from people, even if they're not religious. I found that to be the case. People in hospital beds, they will welcome prayer, even if they themselves are not religious, because in moments of despair, people need and they want hope. Everybody needs and wants hope. As followers of Christ, that hope is our assurance. That hope is certain. And that's why we can say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need your help right now. Because no one else can understand my situation. I need your help right now. Help me in this moment of anxiety. Help me not to worry about the future. Help me not to be consumed about the past. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's ready to help us in our time of need. He's ready to support us. Here's a second thing that happens when we keep in step with the Spirit. We'll gain wisdom. So not only will we receive support because the Holy Spirit is our advocate, we'll gain wisdom because the Holy Spirit is our counselor. We've been saying throughout this series that we need the Holy Spirit to live the life that Jesus purchased for us. We cannot do it on our own. God brought us out of spiritual darkness and into the light to experience abundant life, one filled with hope and joy. Did you know that God does not want us to live a defeated life? Did you know that? He doesn't. He doesn't want us to live a life constantly filled with anger and bitterness and resentment and frustration and impatience and confusion. Now, yes, we'll experience those things from time to time. Absolutely. Because those are natural. At times, we will be discouraged. At times, we'll face anxiety and fear and confusion. We'll experience anger. Those things happen. But God doesn't want us to be ruled by those emotions. So, do we sometimes get discouraged by the events around us? By people and things in the news, in media? Yes, that happens. Do we sometimes get frustrated by the people in our lives? Loved ones, family members, co-workers, friends, yes. Are we sometimes confused because we have a major decision and we just don't know what to do? Yes. A big part of growing spiritually is learning how to navigate life when the people and the circumstances in our lives are difficult. That's part of spiritual maturity. When we learn how to navigate life, when the people in our lives and the circumstances in our lives are difficult. And a big part of growing spiritually is kind of learning how to pray a little bit differently. Maybe we need to start asking the Holy Spirit to change us so that we respond differently to that person who's making life difficult or that situation that is difficult. Now, yes, we can pray for the people around us. Paul prayed for his fellow believers all throughout his letters. But We are not called to pray for those around us so that life becomes easier for us, as nice as that would be at times. We are called to pray for them so that they will look more like Jesus. That's the same prayer for us as well. When we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, when we move at His pace, when we are in agreement with Him, what we begin to discover is this, and it's very practical. The Holy Spirit will give us practical daily wisdom. Remember, He's our counselor. That's what a counselor does. A counselor gives guidance. And so the Holy Spirit is ready to give us very practical daily wisdom. And so if we are in tune with the Spirit, guess what? In other words, if we're constantly thinking, Holy Spirit, what should I say? What should I do? If we're constantly thinking that, He's going to give us the wisdom we need for that very moment. And that means that every conversation that we have, whether with a loved one or a complete stranger, will be Spirit-led. Every conversation. In fact, every word that comes out of our mouths. And the more that we mature spiritually, the more we'll be mindful of all the words that come out of our mouths and the impact that those words will have on those who hear those words. And that's not to say that we must all sound alike. Please don't mistake that. God has blessed each of us with our own unique personalities, and we're not robots. So we're not designed to say exactly the same thing. So here in this room, God has blessed some of you with the wonderful gift of talking a lot. And God's blessed others with the wonderful gift of not talking a lot. God has blessed those who lightheartedly joke a lot. And God has blessed those others who are just very serious. And that's okay. We all have different personalities. The more we mature in our spiritual walk, here's what happens. No matter our personalities, no matter how much or how little we talk, we become mindful of what the Holy Spirit wants us to do and say, using our gifting, using our personalities. I love what Jesus says to His disciples in Luke 12, verse 12. And I hope this will encourage you. Luke 12, verse 12, Jesus says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." At that time, the context is this. Jesus is assuring His followers that when they are brought before the authorities and questioned, at that moment, the Holy Spirit will give them the exact, precise words to say. Doesn't that comfort you? Doesn't that reassure you? Doesn't that encourage you? That the Holy Spirit will give you the exact words to say. Each week, when I prepare for that Sunday's message, I sit down, and in case you don't know the process, it's much like writing a paper. Remember those days? And so I sit down at my computer and I start drafting my message. And throughout the course of all the days leading up to Sunday, here's what happens. A thought comes to mind, I'll put it down on my computer. And with each passing day, what happens is, as I ask the Holy Spirit, does this sound right? Have I chosen the right words? Is this how you want me to communicate this? Do you know what happens? And maybe for those of you, maybe educators or maybe people who like to write a lot, maybe you'll understand, you'll identify. I go through several drafts and I will tweak words because, you know, Spirit, maybe that didn't sound right. Maybe that's not what you want me to communicate. Every single one of us can tap into Luke 12, 12. At that time, the Holy Spirit will teach you what you should say. Even the very words. down to the precise word, the Holy Spirit has the power to give you the words to say in that moment. We can trust that the Holy Spirit will tell us what to say, how to say it, when to say it, because He's our counselor. He's the best guidance counselor there is. And as our counselor, He will give us the guidance we need for all our decisions, both big and small. It can be as small as and as simple as, where should we go for lunch today? Now, for some people, most people, that's a hard decision. Especially if you have a whole family and everyone in the family has their own cravings. Sometimes that can lead to arguments. Well, we went there last week. So, even in a small, what might seem mundane moment as, where should we go eat? And that, for some of you, that's going to happen in about 45 minutes. Where should we eat today? At that moment, why not consult the Holy Spirit? And I'm being serious. Because in that moment, when you got four different choices, maybe that day you might say, I'm going to defer to that other person's desire. Or maybe the Holy Spirit will lead you to say, hey, I know a food court. That way everyone can enjoy their choices. See, we can consult the Holy Spirit on a simple matter like that and something much, much bigger about life choices, major decisions. No decision is too small or too big for our counselor. He'll give us the guidance we need. He'll give us the wisdom we need. Many of you know Dr. Lee at our church. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, who's Dr. Lee? This might help. His first name is Eddie. You see him up here every week. But most people don't know that our worship arts director also holds a doctorate in education. Did you know that? Because he's just too humble to broadcast that. And I asked him if I could share a little about his role. He's a professor of counseling at Mount San Antonio College. And it's a wonderful program there at Mount SAC. And one of the classes that Dr. Eddie Lee teaches to students is called Career and Life Planning. And so in this lecture, students gather and they learn about their individual personalities, their values, their interests, and how all those things relate to their life choices. And specifically career choices. And so he guides them, he counsels them, he gives them wisdom and direction. These are major decisions that college students face. What a wonderful program. I wish there was a Dr. Lee when I was in college. One of these days, I think I might disguise myself, put on a ball cap, dark glasses, maybe a hoodie, and then sneak into one of his lectures and just sit there and pretend that I'm a college student. And if I ever do that, I'm confident that I will sit there and go, that is some wonderful wisdom. Those students are very fortunate to have Dr. Lee in their lives. And if you've ever had a conversation with Eddie, it makes sense, doesn't it, that he is a professor of counseling. The role of a counselor is an important role. Every one of us, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the divine counselor in the Holy Spirit. And if you're not in the habit of doing so, I encourage you, consult him every day. Every day. For even the simplest decisions. And he'll give us the wisdom we need to navigate the people and the circumstances in our lives. Here's the third and final thing that happens when we keep in step with the Spirit. We'll discover the truth. And that's because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. We'll discover the truth. Have you ever read a Bible passage, and then maybe a year later you read that same passage, maybe 10 years later, and one day it finally makes sense? That's the Holy Spirit. That's nothing but the Holy Spirit. Because God's Word is brought to life by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit illuminates God's Word. Without the Holy Spirit leading you, it just might sound confusing. It just might sound like a collection of words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verses 13 and 14, Paul writes this: "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." And that is why every time we open up God's Word, we must ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate God's Word. The Holy Spirit enables us to understand and ultimately to live out God's Word in our lives. You know, our goal, we say over and over again, is to look more like Jesus. In order to look more like Jesus, we need to know what He looks like. And how do we know what He looks like? We open up the Bible. The Bible gives us what we need. Today is the final Sunday of January, which means now that almost a month has passed. We are almost a month into the new year, 2025. And I hope that many of you, I hope all of you, are staying faithful to daily Bible reading. Now, it's very likely that some have fallen back. Maybe your pace has slowed a bit, and that's natural. But here's the good news. It's never too late to pick it back up again. So what I don't want you to do is this. I don't want you to think, oh, you know what? On January 1st, I set a goal, a resolution. I'm going to read through the Bible, or I'm going to read the Bible every day. But maybe somewhere life got busy and you stopped. Maybe one day passed, and then maybe 2 days and 3 days. And you're thinking, well, by now, it's just, there's no reason. It's never too late. And there's no better day than today to open up God's Word. Again, if we want to look more like Jesus, we need to know what He looks like. And the Holy Spirit is ready to teach us. So I invite you, if it's been a whole month since you read God's Word, if it's been a whole month since you've listened to God's Word on a daily basis, pick it up tonight and continue tomorrow. When we keep in step with the Spirit, what happens is we'll receive support because He is our advocate. When we keep in step with the Spirit, we'll gain wisdom, because He is our counselor. When we keep in step with the Spirit, we'll discover the truth of God's Word, because the Spirit is our teacher. This week, my encouragement is this, that you start off every morning by saying, "Holy Spirit, help me to keep in step with You today. Holy Spirit, help me to keep in step with You today." And let's make this practical. You might even say that while you're walking to class. You might say that while you're walking into your office tomorrow morning. Before you open the door, just pause. "Holy Spirit, help me to keep in step with You today." Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, help us to keep in step with You today and tomorrow and the next. Help us to move with You at Your pace. Help us to agree with You And as we do so, life is going to be so much better because we will look so much more like Jesus. Thank you for that assurance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.